Thank you, Tracy. So I'm Ann Young. I'm the manager of Rights and Reproductions at the Indianapolis Museum of Art, and I am going to take us into the land of IP, as one might expect. So in case you haven't noticed, this thing called social media seems to kind of be here to stay. It doesn't seem to really be going anywhere. So it's becoming more and more urgent for our institutions to have a social media policy, code. Well, shall we call them guidelines? That we can put out there for our staff to have a framework so that they know what they can and cannot post and do on social media, be it posting as the institution or as an individual. So traditionally, we'll find a lot of things where we're saying, no, 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 don't post that. People don't, they get a lot of calls from me and they don't like them. So this is one case where we had the fortunate opportunity that our archivist came to me before posting and said, hey, I found this great image in the archives. What do you think about this? We'll post it. And I went, well, we could maybe, you know, there's some copyright there with Robert Indiana, but we could work around that with fair use. But I started looking at it going, but it shows people touching the sculpture and jumping on it. And maybe that's not so cool in what we want to be putting out there as an individual or an institution. So then we get to post like this. A little bit safer. Probably not infringing any IP here, showing a temporarily removed sign in an exhibition. Not going to be any copyright implications there in that for any possible infringement. But how you can encourage staff to post some of this behind-the-scenes content and really some more for the field specifics. And then I always get the fun things that come to my desk, like this that was sent to me from our social media manager going, should these people have been allowed to do this? Do you want to contact their photographer or do you want me to? So we sent them a very nice cease and desist saying, you know that application and contract you signed to come and do your photo shoot here for this lovely engaged couple? Part of what you agreed to was to not climb on the sculptures. Take the photo down now. And I got a very panicked photographer calling me back within about 30 seconds of sending that communication to her going, oh, I'm so sorry, it's down. Daily occurrence at the IMA, pulling people off the love. So more recently, we were able to find this image. So when I told our archivist, we went, I don't know about sharing that image where we're showing the kids touching the love, and we realize it's in the archives and is part of the documentation and history of the collection. We found this that's a little bit better that we can post and show, and part of a Throwback Thursday post on our Tumblr account, where at least they're just in front of the sculpture. They're not touching it. They're not jumping on it. And it's posting with care and love. So now I'm going to get into some of the more technical and IP considerations. And don't make me come after you as the copyright police with my public domain hat. I have a very, very lovely John French at Yale Art Gallery to thank for that drawing. So any post and any use in your institution, be it on your website, for publication, for exhibition, for social media, you're going to have a set of IP considerations that you're going to want to review. You're going to be looking at any potential copyright status. Is it published? Has it been registered? Was that registration renewed? You're going to be wanting to use tools like Peter Hurdle's copyright chart out of Cornell. You're going to be wanting to note, is the work still under copyright? Has it moved into the public domain, or is it even perhaps an orphan work? You're going to be wanting to then, hopefully, maybe try to find some rights holders. Do we have licensing agreements in place? Do we want to look at fair use or not? What are we including? What are we clearing for social media? Do we perhaps have part of our non-exclusive licensing agreement covers online use, including institutional websites as well as social media applications? You're going to be looking at things like visible trademarks. Do you have anything that might be appearing in this imagery that could be infringing any trademarks in any way? You're going to be looking at privacy and publicity issues, looking at possible unreasonable intrusion of personal solitude, public disclosure of true but embarrassing private facts, potential false light, or appropriation of someone's name and likeness. All considerations to take into effect on that, what you think is going to be this quick and instantaneous social media post. And really looking at what releases do you have as an institution or not, and how you can leverage all of this. And then, of course, looking at the infamous, is it fair use? Is it not? So when you're looking at this, you have to take a step back and consider some of the tools and newer guidelines and codes that have come out. So you're going to be looking at AMD's guidelines for thumbnail digital images on websites, looking at the recent CAA code for fair use in visual arts that came out earlier this year, and how this can all be applied to your institutional uses on social media. Do you consider that to be fair use, that these images and putting them on social media, they're most likely really tiny? Somebody probably can't get anything out of that to really infringe. But towards all of that, you're going to be wanting to look at this and see, how do you leverage that? What level of risk and liability is your institution and for your staff willing to assume or not assume? And as part of that, looking at fair use, what steps do you take towards ensuring that fair use is leveraged? So one step towards that is the infamous photography policies and social media. And guess what? Everybody coming into your museum now has a camera. And the public has a desire to access collections and share their experiences with others. Our challenge is to have to look at all of these policies that we've had in place that were originally put in place for very good reasons, to protect our objects and their creators and their lenders and our donors. And how do we have to adapt those and change those with social media, that everyone wants to come in, and how do we post this? So you want to look at with your social media, if you're going to allow photography in your collections, make it clear, make it simple, make it visible, make it relatable, make it hashtagable. And yes, that's a wordable. Good. A few of you are listening. Now, I will say, what's notable at the IMA is the major exhibitions that we have recently had to limit and restrict visitor photography in them has not been because of copyright. It has been other restrictions from lenders to exhibitions and other restrictions perhaps from donors. So having to balance these, that social media and any restrictions you might have, it's not just about the IP and the copyright, but you're looking at all of this holistically. So we've been able to have those opportunities where we had shows where all the work was under copyright, but we were able to open that up because we had a dialogue with the artists, with these creators, and we were able to get that approved to have visitors take those photographs. Towards that end, you're going to want to look at the attribution. How do you credit? How do you make note of what is being represented in these as an institution, as an individual posting? So looking at how, as an institution, we're supposed to be stewards and get this information out there, not only by images or videos or audio files, but also that associated collection data. Side note, when we're talking about collection data and making it open and accessible, there is no copyright to collection data. There is no restriction to putting it out there, except restriction to researchers, which is just, well, bogus. So as you can see in this instance, we were posting that our Van Gogh had come back from being on loan. Yay, it's back, come see it. But we wanted that to be the main part of this Facebook post, not the capturing some credit information, a link back to the collection page. So we used the opportunity with the first comment on this post to put that additional information there, to provide that link back to our website as well with more information. And at the end, it's all about crediting others, including the artist name, details, links back to collection sites, as we want our visitors to be crediting us, including our institution links, including the hashtag for the exhibition, including exhibition titles, and being able to relay all of that back. Now, the other side with social media, everybody loves a good behind the scenes. Again, most of the time, this behind the scenes is not going to be a restriction based on copyright or other IP considerations, but we maybe need to look at safety and security of our collections. Not to mention the, you know, does our staff want to be included in those behind-the-scenes images that might go out in the world? So we have responsibility to our lenders, to our shows. Are they okay with showing this works arriving to and from our institutions? We need to be careful that we're not showing anything that might compromise the security and safety of our institutions, that we're not showing anyone, hopefully not drilling a hole through their own thumb. That didn't happen. That we don't want to show anything where we're inadvertently showing our dock, our storage, that could in any way compromise our collections. So at the end of the day, we come back to some suggested guidelines. That overall sharing on social media, it really is not unlike sharing on our institutional websites or as individuals wanting to share this content. We're looking at those thumbnails, those details, and that most likely it's a lot of fair use is applicable there. And making sure that we understand those terms of use and how we interact with those terms of use for these platforms as individuals and as our institutions. So we want to make sure that we have opportunities to look at where can we include caption and credit information with these, even noting perhaps in our guidelines to staff caption and credit templates and noting in cases where you maybe only have 140 characters on Twitter and how do I put all that in there? And so showing ways of embedding captions into your image files. What is the pertinent information that needs to be included? Is it better, and you maybe have the opportunity that you can include a link back to the collection object page to include that information with it and retain all of that, of what they can and cannot do. Looking at context beyond just the image, that you don't want to just post that by itself. You want to relate it all back to your collection, bring them back to your main institution's website. And please definitely note cases where there might be automatic cropping or resizing, or in some cases where you might want to add some little padding to and borders to images so that any automatic cropping that might occur will be stemmed. Share your data and links to your institutional websites or other collection objects as relevant. And really just think about that risk assessment and level of what you're going to tell your staff they can and cannot do. Don't make us come after you with the pirate code either. Thank you.